Welcome to PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Fishbane. And yes, the Bears are 0-3, but we're here for you. We are here to still talk about them for you because they are your Chicago Bears, and that is our job to bring you the best Bears coverage that we can. I'm Kevin Fishbane. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. Get all of our Bears coverage at Bears_Insider and online profootballweekly.com/Bears. Snapchat at us, Bears_Insider. Took some fun snaps of that giant spaceship of a stadium in Arlington, Texas this weekend, and Dallas for the Cowboys-Bears game. And thanks to Umphreys McGee. Great theme song to open up the program. We're going to briefly recap Bears Cowboys, talk a little bit about some of the issues that are plaguing these Bears, and then preview Sunday's game against the Lions. Will the Bears get off the schneid and get their first win of the season, their first home win in almost a year? I'm joined by my producer, John Solly. You can follow him on Twitter at JSolly. And John, I didn't get to watch the broadcast, the NBC broadcast. So before I get into my thoughts about the game, I'm curious, what were kind of Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth saying about the Chicago Bears?
You know, a lot of it was, what is the Bears' identity? Who are we watching there? It seemed almost existential to describe what they were watching from the Bears. And yeah, they were questioning sort of what the identity is, and I'll be honest, I was kind of nodding my head along with him because I don't know what the identity of this Bears team is other than that they are bad.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Last week on this show, I talked about how I thought the Bears were going to cover the spread, not win. Because with Vic Fangio and John Fox and veteran coaching staff, they were not going to let this team get pasted on national TV to a rookie quarterback. And when you go down 17-0, you have 2 3-and-outs, then you go down 24-3. I mean, that is a team that was not prepared. I mean, that is a team that walked into Dallas and, you know, just got taken to the woodshed. And I'm trying to, you know, massage this theory about how much it matters that they have these coaches when it comes to previewing the Lions game. But I really did not expect them to look that bad to open the game. And credit to the Cowboys. They had a great game plan. But you start to wonder, John, you know, we used to be able to say about this team, well, the talent's not there yet, but they're going to stay competitive. And now we've had, if you take the third and fourth quarter from the Philly game and the first and second quarter from the Dallas game, you have a full game of an embarrassment, of absolute Tressman-style from 2014 embarrassment when you look at how the Bears finished the Eagles game and how they started the Cowboys game. And that is really surprising and should be very concerning to Ryan Pace, certainly, and everyone at Hallis Hall.
It is not only a lack of talent, but the injuries have exposed a lack of depth. And that's not a good combination, Kevin.
No, it's not. And it's, you know, look, injuries are going to be, look, it's not even a convenient excuse. I mean, it's a legitimate, you were missing your two best defensive players. You're missing your starting quarterback. But I thought David Haw, the Chicago Tribune, wrote a great column last week. Hello, the Vikings are without Sam Bradford and Adrian Peterson. They just went to Carolina and won by 12. The New England Patriots are down to their third string quarterback. And look what they've been doing. I mean, this is more than just some injuries. And I mentioned those four quarters. If you combine them together, second half of Eagles, first half of Cowboys, the Bears were outscored 44-10. You put that together in a full game, that's the type of game that we saw in 2014. The question is, when you get a Lions team coming in that we'll get more into in just a minute, has some similarities to Cowboys, high-powered offense, very weak on defense, how that's going to get figured out. And we're going to preview the Detroit Lions right now as we go behind enemy lines with Justin Rogers. To learn a little bit more about the Detroit Lions, I bring in now Justin Rogers, covers the Lions for the Detroit News. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin_Rogers. And Justin, before we get to this great game on Sunday, we're going to have the pleasure of watching between the Bears and the Lions. I want to go back to what Detroit did in week 3. against the Packers, which kind of seemed like a typical Lions game with Stafford, where they put up a ton of points in the end. They kind of make it interesting, went down early. What were kind of the takeaways from that game in the way the Lions played in the second half? I mean, were there enough positives to take from the second half to offset some of the bad defense in the first half?
Yeah, you know, I don't think the comeback was fake or something that Green Bay was doing defensively. I think it was early enough in the game that that momentum got going. You know, it started at the end of the first half when, I can't think of his name now, the cornerback for the Packers, Randall, missed the tackle on Marvin Jones, giving up a 73-yard touchdown at the end of the half. Gave the Lions a lot of momentum going into the second half. They scored a touchdown with their first drive and continued to press the Packers for the rest of the game. You know, Green Bay wanted to run out the clock in that one and tried to run it out with Eddie Lacy. And they did that successfully, but the Lions put enough pressure on them that they had to continue to push offensively. Defensively for the Lions, I don't know what to say. I mean, the first half was a disaster. Five possessions, five scores, four touchdowns. That's after two touchdowns on the last two possessions of the game before. So you're talking six touchdowns and seven possessions. I mean, that's a train wreck. They can't seem to get fixed with DeAndre Levy and Ezekiel Ansah still out.
And those guys are expected to be out Sunday as well. Is that correct?
As far as I can tell, yes. Yeah. Levy hasn't practiced for a while. They don't even want him on his feet. He's not even coming out to the practice field like a lot of the other injured players. And we haven't seen Ansah for a few days either. He's out getting a second opinion on what has been reported to be a high ankle sprain. And anybody that's ever had one of those, they know how they linger.
Right. And so let's talk about the defense then, Justin, because from a Chicago perspective, that would be where the Bears could maybe try to take advantage. Not that they've been doing that anyways, but it's something for them. I mean, who are some of these guys that are stepping up in the absence of Levy and Ansah in terms of that front seven?
There's really only one guy that's stepping up, and his name's Kerry Hyder. And before this season, nobody had ever heard of him. He'd bounced around on a couple practice squads, first with the New York Jets, then was with Detroit all of last year. And they really liked him on that practice squad. And I think for the last game of the year, they brought him up kind of as a let's see what you can do. Here's a little reward for how hard you worked this year. And he only got two snaps in that game. And, you know, that was his impact for the season was two whole snaps. This year, he earned a job out of nowhere. He did it really with that fourth preseason game where he had three sacks, and I guess shows you that game is not entirely meaningless. And that's carried over to the regular season. I believe he's second in the NFL or in that top three, four mix with sacks right now. He's got four, got at least one in every game. He's just a high-motor guy. He's not going to blow you away with any of his pass rush moves. He's just relentless. So if the quarterback holds onto the ball, there's a increased chance every single snap that Hyder's going to get back there and disrupt the play. Other than that, the Lions' deep defensive line that was you know, so highly touted throughout the preseason has failed to deliver, in part because Ansah's out. Tahir Whitehead looked a little lost at middle linebacker this year, particularly in coverage, and they're pretty banged up across the linebacking core. It hasn't been just Levy. Van Noy's missed some time with a calf injury. Rookie Antoine Williams, who's Levy's backup, has been out with a hamstring injury. So it's pretty much a disaster in that front seven.
Going to the secondary, Justin, it's kind of funny. I feel like year after year, you look at what the Lions have back there, and it kind of, on paper, just seems to be a question mark every season with them. And every season, you're predicting them to take a corner early on or a safety early on. I mean, I think Bears fans and certainly Jay Cutler know Glover Quinn pretty well from what he's done in Detroit in the past few years. And then Darius Slay, of course. Who are some of the other guys to kind of keep an eye on in Detroit secondary? And what's that unit maybe been doing well through the first couple of games?
It's really half a secondary, isn't it, with Quinn and Slay? You know, those guys are two Pro Bowl caliber talents. Slay has not had a great start to the season, but he also hasn't been awful. He's just lacking big plays. Only one pass breakup and zero interceptions through these first three games. It's his calling card's kind of getting hands on balls. Right now he's playing sticky coverage, but he's just not making the plays. Other than those two, Nevin Lawson's the other starting corner. He's in his really second season as the starter, and he's a very physical player. That plays well against big receivers, so it should do well against Chicago with Jeffrey and White out there. Where he gets beat a lot is when he gets too physical with the quick little receivers. He gets called for a lot of penalties. Seems officials are more willing to let that go against the bigger body guys. just in the natural hand fighting those guys have down the field. The other safety spot has been kind of a package mix. You know, it's a weird thing, but the lines have been rotating two guys there, both guys that were backups elsewhere. Tavon Wilson, a former second-round pick who was a special teams guy mostly in New England, and Raphael Bush, who does have some starting experience. He's a good tackler, more of a coverage guy than the prototypical strong safety, and they kind of rotate him based on needs. Right now, Wilson's a little banged up. He wasn't able to finish the last game. We don't really have a good idea on what his status is at this point. I believe it's a neck injury. So you might be seeing a lot more Bush, which is an interesting combination. He kind of has a skill set that mimics Quinn. They've got a lot of range in that back end. They both tackle well. So that's, I guess, going to be their calling card is keeping everything in front of them. And as you mentioned, you know, I think the Bears fans know Quinn pretty well at this point. Definitely a guy that's always around the football and capable of turning it over.
Yeah. And that's something that we were expecting here. That's going to be Brian Hoyer again, and that'll be certainly a kind of a matchup to watch. On the other side of the ball, I mean, obviously that's the Lions' strength. That's where they're going to get you. And Matthew Stafford should have loved watching what Dak Prescott did to the Bears on tape. And Prescott, you know, picked them apart with ease, and Stafford's had his success against Chicago. Obviously, he's had some issues, usually at Soldier Field, sometimes with turnovers. What have you seen from Matthew Stafford this year? I wonder, are we at the point in his career where he kind of is what he is? We all know what to expect from him. What's been your evaluation of his play so far?
Yeah, I think Stafford, I think that's fair that he is what he is, but he's taken a step forward in maybe the last season and a half and kind of tightened screws on that profile we've established of him. The offense has changed, obviously, under Jim Bob Cooter, and it's more of a quick-hitting offense, you know, relies a lot on getting receivers' balls in short areas, and they got a lot of guys that can make things happen after the catch. Amir Abdullah's out, but you still have Theo Riddick, Golden Tate, and Eric Ebron, who can do a lot after the catch that will, you know, nicely inflate a quarterback's stats without requiring a certain amount of risk. And then Marvin Jones has just been an outstanding addition to the offense. Obviously, leading the NFL in receiving by a pretty wide margin right now. Had over 200 yards against a banged-up Green Bay secondary, and he's given them a deep threat component. You know, he's not drawing a lot of double teams because you can't double a lot of guys in Lions offense because they have so many weapons. And he's exceptional one-on-one. He's got great body control, tracks the ball really well. And I believe he also has a significant lead and plays over 20 yards. He's an explosive play receiver, and he's tough for any cornerback in this league to handle right now.
Yeah, I was curious, of course, how, you know, I mean, that's been, of course, the storyline in the preseason is replacing Megatron and, you know, how the Lions were going to do that. And, you know, the passing game is still taking off. And, you know, another guy that Bears fans have gotten to know over the years certainly is Golden Tate. And then, you know, you mentioned what else they have there. Eric Ebron, of course, that I imagine is going to be a very big advantage for Troy going against kind of a banged up Bears secondary. Is that kind of how you viewed the matchup and maybe how you viewed it in previous games as well this season, because Detroit does have some firepower there?
Yeah, what isn't banged up going into this game? I mean, it's your defense is banged up. The Lions defense is banged up. The Bears are missing 38 starters on offense. It's going to be a really bad football game to watch, it feels like. But yeah, it absolutely should be the biggest advantage of one unit over another coming into this contest is the Lions passing game against the Bears. It's efficient. It's, as I mentioned, there's so many weapons. You have to pick your poison. And the nice thing about not having Johnson, which seems weird to say, but you know, it doesn't force Stafford to lock into him and to force the ball to him, because any time that Stafford threw the ball less than five times to Calvin Johnson, the first question after the game was, why didn't you throw it to Calvin Johnson? He doesn't deal with that anymore. He can throw it wherever he wants, wherever he pleases. It's leading to a really nice mix. And even though Marvin Jones has been their leading receiver in terms of targets every single week, if you look at the stat sheet, it's usually four or five guys with five plus targets every week. That's very tough to defend. And these aren't just average weapons. I mean, Anquan Boldin is an above average guy, even though he's long in the tooth. Eric Ebron was a number 10 overall pick. Theo Riddick is arguably the best receiving back in the NFL these days. So it's just really tough to cover everything the Lions do in that passing attack.
And the last thing on the offense, I want to talk about the offensive line. And, you know, you see early round picks up there. Obviously, it's been a group that struggled a lot last season. Is that an area of concern? Is that a group that is growing and getting better? I mean, the Bears had no pass rush whatsoever against Dallas, so I don't know if the Lions are really worried about what the Bears can bring up front with so many players missing. But is that an area that maybe the Lions get worried about, or are they pretty confident about what they have up there?
I'm disappointed that McPhee's out still for this contest. He's just one of my favorite pass rushers to watch in the NFL. I love the physicality he plays with off the edge. As for the offensive line, it's a young group, you know, and as you mentioned, it's a group that the Lions have heavily invested in recent years. You got 3 first round picks, 2 third round picks. They got a couple draft picks as the top reserves, and it's being young. It's talented, but also prone to mistakes. You know, I think they wildly exceeded expectations the first couple weeks. Taylor Decker looked extremely comfortable. Those first 2 games held up his end of the bargain, not just in pass rush, but run blocking. I think the Lions were 3rd in the NFL at 5.6 yards per carry after the first 2 weeks. And then they ran into a pretty good Green Bay front that, even though they were missing some guys, they dominated the Lions up front. So they've got to go out, and they're looking to reestablish the momentum, the early season momentum that they had, that they lost in that Packers game. I like Decker a lot, but you know, anytime you have a rookie left tackle out there, he's going to be prone to ups and downs. He's coming off a big time down. I want to see how he mentally rebounds from that. The right side of the line is pretty damn solid. You got Riley Reiff, who moved over from left tackle to right tackle. It's been a very smooth transition. I think he's been probably one of the better right tackles in the NFL, at least according to a lot of the metric sites out there. And Larry Warford, when healthy, is a people mover. So you're seeing a lot of push on that right side, and Lions are finally able to establish some semblance of a ground game. The loss of Amir Abdullah killed him, but they've got Theo Riddick, who's running the ball a little bit better this year, and a pretty intriguing rookie in Dwayne Washington, a 7th-round pick. But don't get me wrong here. He's not Adrian Peterson, but he's built like Adrian Peterson. He's a 6'2 guy that weighs close to 230 pounds, has a really intriguing size-speed combination, and kind of a big-play machine. He had big plays all through college. Had a couple huge runs in the preseason, and in very limited carries has already had a 30-yard run in the regular season. So I think you're going to probably see more of him this week in Chicago.
And the running back situation, which brings me to an important point, Justin. I just got a text from a friend of the program, Eli Cabron, who writes for the Bears.
I know where this
he
is
wants
going.
To know, is this going to be the Joique Bell revenge game?
That would be the typical Lions storyline. It's happened to him before a few years back. I think we all remember Artos Pinner, who was essentially a nobody and went and scored 3 touchdowns against the Lions when he played for, I believe, Minnesota. So I don't know. It seems so unlikely. Joique Bell looked done when he was here last year. He's had an offseason to get his body right, but I just can't imagine him doing anything. It's probably going to be the Jordan Howard show, if anything.
Yeah, that's well, it just, you know what, Justin, we talked about how miserable this game could be. We're fishing for storylines at this point.
Yeah, no, I think the young running backs are probably some of the more intriguing elements of this game. You know, I want to see more of Washington and more of Howard, and they're both lining up because of injuries to have those opportunities in this game. I think both are exciting young players. One obviously had higher expectations coming into this season given the draft status, but you know, both have really flashed early on in the season, and will be interesting to see what they could do with more carries.
I'll wrap up with this, Justin. When you look at what's going on in Detroit right now, and obviously with Jim Caldwell keeping his job amidst all the changes in the front office, and you know, Lions rallied for him at the end of the season last season. Now you get off to this start. You know, the Bears are in this weird thing where they're 0-3 with the veteran coach who's not on the hot seat right now. But, you know, as this things continue, who knows what's going to happen. What is the mood in Detroit when it comes to Jim Caldwell and what this team's got to do this season?
I guess it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to the fans, they all want to axe them now. You know, week 3 in the season, get them out. But, you know, I think it's still a calmness within the building. You know, I think they still believe that they can accomplish what they want to accomplish this year, and that's still eye on the playoffs. The schedule for them sets up still fairly nicely. I know that Philadelphia, which comes in Detroit after Chicago, is obviously tearing people up, and not many people saw that coming. But the Lions do have a favorable slate ahead of them. They think they can come into Chicago and they can win this game, finish the first quarter 2-2. And given the fact that they had 3 out of 4 on the road and some tough opponents in there in Green Bay and Indianapolis, it's not outlandish to think that's probably where they were heading from the start of the season. So, if they lose this game, I could see a temperature turning on Caldwell's chair a little bit. But right now, I think everybody's still calm and in the evaluation period.
And we know that Jim Caldwell is a very calm man, so he can handle this with ease. As he stares out into the he kind of always has that look on his face that I see memes of on Twitter as the games go on.
Yeah, comatose, I think, is the appropriate term.
Yes, John Fox has a similar face. Usually his mouth is open and he's shrugging. So it'll be a battle of bad teams at Soldier Field, 1-2 Detroit Lions, the 0-3 Bears, as they compete for third place in the NFC North. Justin Rogers covers the Lions for the Detroit News. Lucky you don't have to cover the Bears right now. But follow him on Twitter at Justin_Rogers. And who knows, Justin, maybe we'll get an exciting game between two bad teams on Sunday at Soldier Field.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to you again in May when both teams are picking in the top 10.
There we go. All right, thanks for your time.
Anytime.
So the interesting point he brought up, John Solly, as we break down this matchup, is that Detroit passing game against what the Bears have in the secondary. I mean, I just rewatched some of the Bears-Cowboys games, so you all don't have to, and I mean, it was ugly how open some guys were. Not the guys Tracy Porter was covering. He did a fine job of Dez Bryant. But throughout the game, I mean, Dak Prescott, 19 of 24 passing, almost 80% throwing. You got to imagine Stafford, much better quarterback than Dak Prescott, and has got a wealth of receivers. I mean, that's the area of the game where if the Lions get going early, it could be over in a hurry.
So if Tracy Porter is on Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, who had more than 200 receiving yards against the Packers, what, 300, 400 receiving yards this week, maybe?
Yeah, give or take.
Give or take?
That's some good modeling there to put out the mathematical equation. I do like the Joik Bell revenge game factor.
No, nobody outside of the Joik Bell family likes that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Because if Kadeem Carey's not ready to go, Jordan Howard, as much as people want him to, he's not gonna have 30 touches. They still are more comfortable with Jeremy Langford in pass protection. So now the question is, can they get can they get Joik Bell, knowing his protections and whatnot, if that's where he's going to help? I think the key is getting Kadeem Carey back, certainly. And the Bears pass rush has to show up. We've seen it at Soldier Field. We've seen Matthew Stafford struggle. We've seen him turn it over. He's not, the nimblest guy, fleet of foot, certainly. So Will Young, Leonard Floyd, Akeem Hicks, like, these guys have to get after him. We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. I'm really interested, John, to see what Vic Fangio has to say on Wednesday, because I know it was a really undermanned unit, but we've seen this Bears team with injuries on defense play much better than it did in the first half against Dallas. And you just did not expect them to be that ineffective against two rookies. Look, Ezekiel Elliott's a great player, and Dak Prescott's having a really good start to his NFL career. They're still rookies. The Bears should have been able to stop them one time in the first half, one would think, right?
You would think, but that hasn't been what the Bears have been doing. And now the Bears come home, but they've been so bad at home. I think I looked this up after the Monday night game. The last time the Bears won at home was the last day of the 2015 Cubs regular season.
Yep.
Dan Heron got the win, if you were curious. Everything should line up for the Bears to bounce back a little bit, but I just don't see it happening.
363 days was the last time the Bears won at home. So it was week 4, same situation. They were 0-3. They beat the Raiders. Before we get more into this Bears-Lions game because I know all of you are just clamoring to find out more about this game, let's talk about our sponsor, Loot Crate. If you go to lootcrate.com/Shaw and use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, you get $3 off your first crate. And John, we are so close to October. I'm starting to see the Halloween decorations. I'm seeing the costumes in the stores. It's making me anxious because I don't know what I'm going to be for Halloween. But if you get your Loot Crate for October, it is, of course, a theme of horror. We're talking The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, and Halloween. You can get some cool gear, t-shirt, mug, other things for your house in your crate. And if you use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W, when you go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, you'll get $3 off that first crate. John, do you know what you're going to be for Halloween?
Maybe a father. My wife is due
That's right.
5 days before or 5 days after that. So that I may end up being that.
Okay. That's exciting. The Bears play on Halloween this year. If you want to talk scary,
that is scary.
No, Monday Night Football, although it is their last primetime game of the year.
So America, you can get a break.
So it's the perfect Halloween because it's something really scary, but then you get candy. So there you go. Anyways, lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use that promo code. John, time of possession has been something I've been writing about over at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Read more about it, by the way, in your Thursday Sun-Times Daily Herald, Northwest Herald, where you could check out the Pro Football Weekly insert, which previews Bears-Lions. The Bears are last in the league of time of possession, and they are second to last in opponent time of possession. So they're getting completely outplayed in terms of tempo and controlling the clock and controlling possession of the games. They can't convert first downs. They're not running the ball well enough. They're not running the ball enough, period. And then the question is, how does that get fixed? And I'll say this. You want positives, John? I got positives for you.
All right, let's hear it.
The offensive line did not give up a sack on Monday or on Sunday night.
Okay, that's positive. But going back to the time of possession thing, how much of that do you put on Dow Loggins and how much do you put on the execution of an offensive line that is working somebody new in? And, you know, some of the, they've obviously made a change at quarterback or forced, they were forced to change at quarterback. How much of that is on the players? How much is that on the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think everyone can admit the play calling's been suspect at times. But there have been some really bad miscues in some of these games too, whether it's a drop pass, a bad route, a missed assignment in protection. This team's just not coming together fast enough. And, you know, I know they were all excited about Josh Sitton, and then John Fox keeps reminding everyone that they had to move in a starting left guard the first week of the season, which is not an easy thing to do, even if it is Josh Sitton. So yeah, it's so tough to really pinpoint some of these. But if we're going to go back to the positives, John, we saw the Kevin White flash. It happened. He made a circus catch. It was really impressive. Maybe that's what he needs. Maybe that's the confidence he needs. Zach Miller had a good game. Maybe that gives them the idea to get him more involved against the kind of a weak middle of the Lions defense.
The Lions defense is terrible against tight ends. Zach Miller needs to be a part of the game plan on Sunday if the Bears are going to win.
And that's the thing I keep looking at. I'm like, you know, if this Bears team can't score against the Lions, I mean, the Cowboys defense wasn't very good either, and the Bears struggled. Here's the thing that they got to do, John. If they win the toss, receive the ball.
Okay, right? Why?
Because they have to get up early. Look, I am totally fine with deferring. I get why teams defer. Most teams do all the time. I totally understand that. You look at the Bears right now. If they defer, there is a nice chance that the Lions walk down the field and score. It's exactly what the Cowboys did, and then suddenly you're down 7-0. And for some reason, this offense hasn't been patient enough to take a quick deficit and just be patient and still run the ball. So, you know, I have reason to believe even if they're down 7-0 or even 3-0, you know, will they still stick with their scripted first plays? I don't know. But I say, with everything that's gone on, you receive that ball and you hope that you can go down the field and score and you get a lead, which you haven't had since, you know, early in the Philadelphia game, and go from there. What do you think about my coin toss strategy?
Well, I think something like that probably sends a message to the offense that, hey, we know that this has been a struggle, but we believe in you. So I think from a psychological standpoint, I understand wanting to just take the ball and go score, in Matt Hasselbeck's words.
Yeah, and I do get the other side of the coin, of course, which is that if the Bears do that and they don't score, and then the Lions score, then not only are the Bears losing, but they lose that extra possession from that they would have gotten if they deferred.
And you know, I think at that point, if that happens, we could probably all go home.
Yeah, I will have to stay and write. I will be at the stadium writing.
I'm not going anyway, but
that's fair. That's fair. So look, this is a Lions defense that the Bears can score points against. It's just, you know, maybe it's Brian Hoyer being more comfortable in the offense. Maybe it's another good game for the O-line. Kyle Long said they pass protected well. Now they have to run block well. Maybe they run block better this week and get going early and maybe allow the defense to get the pass rush going, because that defense without Trevathan and Goldman is not pretty. You know, and the safety, the safety play wasn't good. Jacoby Glenn had the stripped fumble, forced fumble, and he had another pass defense, but otherwise he got beat on a couple of bad plays. You can go check out our All 22 slideshow right now at profootballweekly.com/bears. Shows some of those wide open Cowboys receivers. But you know, that's where the Bears have to attack. They have to go after this Lions defense. But John, as you know, right now, Matthew Stafford, Jim Caldwell, folks in Detroit are saying the same thing about the Lions, which brings us to kind of finishing things up and how this game's going to go down. I thought we were going to see a sense of urgency from the Bears in Dallas, down at it with an 0-2 record going against a rookie quarterback. We did not see that in the first half. We saw it in the third quarter, but it was too little too late. Do the Bears come out with that sense of urgency in front of what will be an impatient home crowd to get off the schneid? I mean, do you, and I've said this before, I don't like to put a lot of stock in intangibles when you're breaking down a game, but there's something to be said about sense of urgency that impacts your play calling on both sides of the football that can allow you to gain an edge if you execute it correctly. Do you think the Bears are going to have that sense of urgency on Sunday at noon?
You know, you'd like to say yes, but there hasn't been any evidence of it in the first three games. It's been a stone disaster. So I just don't see it. They're going to have to prove it to me, at least.
Well, it's been a stone disaster, and I'm sure a lot of Bears would prefer to watch this disaster stoned, frankly. it's a rim shot right there. All right, player to watch in the game. You mentioned Zach Miller. I think he's really key. Certainly, I'm going to put it on Akeem Hicks. The Bears got to get somebody on that defensive line to get pressure up the middle, force Matthew Stafford out of the pocket, stop the run. Akeem Hicks had a great preseason. He's a fine player. But without Eddie Goldman, there is more pressure on him. They have to get something going from him, from that defense line. Maybe Jonathan Bullard, Mitch Unrein. One of those guys has to have a big game. You're not counting on these guys to get sacks, but these guys got to get penetration. They have to push the pocket and create plays for the outside linebacker. So let's, because as we said, we think the Bears will be able to score points against the Lions, but can the Bears stop the Lions the other side of the ball? I'm going to pick on Akeem Hicks as kind of the guy to watch. All right, John, give it to me, man. What's your prediction for Sunday, Bears-Lions, Soldier Field?
I'm going to go with a little bit of a goofy score, but I think it's going to be Lions 26, Bears 21.
All right. Last I checked, Lions coming into Soldier Field, 3.5-point favorites.
I think the Lions cover.
Yeah. So I haven't made my pick yet for our newspaper, but you, the listener, will be the first to hear my pick that will certainly go wrong. And I wonder, John, if I'm going to keep doing this until they win, which isn't necessarily a very good strategy. But I'm actually going to pick the Bears to beat the Detroit Lions.
What's the score in your mind?
You know, it's with the bad defenses, you would think high scoring, but I don't think so, because I think that these offenses are – I think it's just going to be a really ugly game. I think it's going to be a slugfest. I'm going to say – you already used 26, so I don't want to use the number 26 then. I do like that number for a goofy score. Let's say Bears 23, Lions 22.
Okay. That's goofy. I like it.
Goofy. Bears 1-point win over the Lions at Soldier Field would be their first win at home in 363 days. And I really, if they lose are we going to have the same conversation about them? Well, they're 0-4. They go into Indianapolis. They gotta come, you know, they have to win. It's must win. I don't necessarily want to be that guy, but I'm at least feeling it with this Detroit team because I just don't think their defense is good. And we've seen Matthew Stafford make mistakes at Soldier Field before, and I think this is kind of ripe to make enough where the Bears can take advantage.
Yeah, it makes sense. I just, until the Bears do it, I'm going to be picking against them, and I feel comfortable doing that.
I do not blame you one bit for that. That's going to do it for this week's episode of PFW Chicago Football Podcast. A big thank you to Justin Rogers from the Detroit News. He covers the Detroit Lions, and it was nice to commiserate with someone about covering a bad team, and these two bad teams will play each other Sunday at Soldier Field. Speaking of that game, make sure you are following me on Twitter at KFishbane and all of our Bears coverage at Bears_Insider. Add us on Snapchat at Bears_Insider for sights and sounds throughout the week. Pick up your Sun-Times, Daily Herald, Northwest Herald on Thursday for our Pro Football Weekly insert. Get all our Bears content at profootballweekly.com/Bears. And Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m. on WCIU, check out Chicago Football Now for more Bears-Lions talk. And we'll see, John, my producer, John Sally. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week if we're talking about the first Bears win at home in almost a year, or an 0-4 team, or Bears talk on this podcast next week.